Hey, this is Maya, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, demand. Episode 175, I believe. But hey, welcome to the show. This is a post-WWE Evolution edition of the podcast. I'm going to be breaking it all down. I'm going to give you all my thoughts, all my sentiments on the pay-per-view that ended just, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes ago at the time I'm doing this. Just got done with that main event and what a main event it was. But I'm going to break it all down. And here's the thing. Let me start out by saying this. This show, and even this podcast, is going to be dedicated to the women that we saw go out there and give us an awesome show. But at the top here, I want to say just a couple of things. I want to get a couple of things off of my chest before we just dive in to this Evolution pay-per-view. I was excited for this. I advocated for this. I was excited for this. I was probably the biggest cheerleader online, on social media and everything when it came to this pay-per-view because I believed in this show. I believed in Evolution. I thought that no matter what anybody said, this was going to be a grade A event. Now, a lot of people complain about the booking, right? And when they do that, sometimes it's the result of the match. But a lot of the times when people complain about the booking, it means they don't like the way that the build is for a particular match or for a pay-per-view. Evolution was not an exception to that rule when it comes to people thinking that they know or saying what WWE... These are my least favorite people right here. The people who go, well, this is what they should have done. Or they shouldn't have done that. That hypothetical BS, that mumbo-jumbo, mainly it's people in the wrestling media go out with the exceptions of a few of the good sites like the SE Scoops and the Pro Wrestling Sheets of the world. Most of them do that. Well, they should do this. They shouldn't do that. This is how I would have done it. Yeah, shut the hell up. You're not a mastermind. You're not Vince. You're not Eric Bischoff. You're not Paul E. You're not Jim Crockett. You're not any of the guys or girls. You're not Stephanie. You're not any of the guys or girls that got us, or got wrestling to the point that it is today. So I don't want to hear this, they should have done this, they shouldn't have done that. You don't know. You have no idea. And this isn't going out to the fans so much as it is the wrestling media. When you, and I know people hate it when, you know, people say this in the business, especially wrestlers or promoters themselves. But working in wrestling for the past 6 years now, being around Booker T, being backstage at those WWE shows and seeing how they're operated, seeing how they're run, and all the things that go into it, all the writers, all the meetings, all the planning, all the execution, none of you know what it takes to run a show. None of you know all the elements that have to come together to make a show successful, to even, and success is just getting the show on the air. And I know I'm ranting here, and I'm going to end it right now, because I don't want this to be about anything but the women. But I had to, because the reason I brought it up is because everyone was like, well, I would have done this for Evolution. I would have put Sasha Banks in there with Trish Stratus. I would have made the main event something else. I wouldn't put Nikki Bella in the main event. They don't deserve it. The Bellas don't deserve it. They can't even rest. I mean, I heard all of this crap. And it's from people whose opinions are validated by their Twitter followers. And they think that their media voice is validated. I'm going to tell you something right now. I might be on the radio. I might do that show with Booker. I might do these podcasts. I am not the media. I don't identify as the media. I don't do any of that. I'm coming at this from a from a perspective of a person who works in wrestling and works in wrestling promotions. If you do not know how to build a show, and the only way you know how to build to a show is if you've done it before, I don't want to hear it. This isn't like Monday morning quarterback stuff, because anybody can have an opinion on a game. No one says, well, I wish they would have built up to the Super Bowl a little bit differently this year. You know? And even television shows that are scripted, nobody says, well, I think that this is what they should do for this season, before you've even seen the season, before you've even seen the episode. Like, it's weird. And I always call it that Seinfeld finale syndrome of people have in their head what they would do. So they're always let down by what is actually done. I work the exact opposite. I watch what is done, and then I give my opinion. Then I formulate my opinion. I don't even do it in the build to a match. I'll only do it and give my opinion about a build to a match after the match and say, you know what? I love how they built to this. Because then that match paid it off. Sometimes you might not be a fan of the way they're getting to a match, and then you see the match or you see the show and you're like, wow. And I bring this up once again because so many people complained about the build, quote unquote, to Evolution. And I was like, what are y'all talking about? The pay-per-view sells itself. You don't need this grandiose build to it. The build is already built in. It's the first ever all-women's pay-per-view. It's like anything. It's like WrestleMania where the tickets sell out before a match is announced. You know, it's like when Brock Lesnar was coming back to the UFC for UFC 200, you didn't care who his opponent was. You just got excited that Brock was coming back to fight. You know, it's like there's a music festival here in Texas called Austin City Limits, or South by Southwest, better example. That's probably more people know South by Southwest. People don't say, well, I'm going to see who's there first. I'm going to see how they promote this thing. No, 90% of people have that brand recognition and say, oh, I'm in. South by Southwest, I'm there, I'm going. They don't care about the build all the time. And with these music festivals, the Lollapaloozas, the Free Press Summerfest, the whatever music festival that's in your area or in your region, nobody buys the ticket. And if they do, it's a slight minority. No one says, well, I'm going to see who's at the festival this year. No, if you're a music lover and you like to see a lot of different music of different variety, you're going to buy the ticket to go see the festival no matter who's playing. Same thing with the Evolution pay-per-view. If you're a fan of wrestling and then you're a fan of women's wrestling and you're super psyched about where the women's division is and you're one of the supporters of the movement, of the evolution, of the revolution, then you should not care about, well, this is how I would have done it because the build here, I didn't like that. The build is the show. The show is what sells. The first ever women's pay-per-view. So I'm going to get off of that because, and here's the other thing though, to segue into the actual show itself. I was hype from the moment they went live on the air, and I'm talking about, man, I like how this show set up. I like how it's lit differently. It has a different feel to it. It's kind of got an NXT vibe to it. And then somebody on Twitter was like, oh, well, don't count your chickens. Like writing something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially writing off the show right then and there. Writing it off before he's even seen a match. And I was just saying it's got a vibe to it. You know, something's just got a vibe to it. And this show had a vibe to it from the get-go. So I was excited about the vibe. And I told that guy, I was like, hey, don't be a glass half empty person yet. You haven't even seen a match. I'm just commenting on the ambiance. And like I said, I like the ambiance. I like the lighting. I like when it was championship matches, it had the blue lighting. I enjoyed the presentation of the show. It had a different feel to it. It had a different vibe to it. And I caught the vibe. You know what I mean? And I was tooting the horn. If you listen to the last episode, I said this was going to be a great pay-per-view. If you listen to Heated Conversations, Booker T and I pretty much agreed this could be the show of the year. It has all the potential to kick ass and be the show of the year. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think I'm being a prisoner of the moment. I think it's up there. When this year comes to an end, and I look back at all the pay-per-views that were put on by WWE, I would have to sit here and really think about, man, Evolution, it's got to be in top, it's top five for sure. Easily top five. It might be top three of the year. Bar none. I think that Hell in a Cell pay-per-view was great. There are a couple other ones I can't think of off the top of my head, but this show is up there for me. It is up there for me. And what better way to start off Evolution than with Trish Stratus and Lita? Trish Stratus and Lita took on Alicia Fox and Mickey James in a tag team match. Of course, it was going to be Alexa Bliss originally, but Alicia Fox got subbed in because Bliss was not all the way medically cleared. I don't know what her, did they say what her injury was? I think, was it concussion or something like that? Something like that. I don't know. It's all alleged. It's hearsay. It's the dirt sheets, brother. But this is a great way to start off the show. And Trish Stratus looks phenomenal. I mean, I know that goes without saying because it's Trish Stratus, but I'm just talking about athletically, in shape-wise, she looked great. She looked like she could go, and I said this to my man Kenny McIntosh from Inside the Ropes on Twitter, I'm like, she could go an hour in the main event, brother. Hour time limit draw. She looked in great shape. I mean, maybe even better than, you know, some of the latter portion of her original in-ring career. She looks in sick shape. Like, I can't even talk about it because I was so impressed. And you know what? Like, this is kind of, to all the women on the show, is something that I thought about. You could tell that everybody took it very seriously. Everybody wanted to look their best in terms of their presentation, their gear, their hair, their makeup, but they also wanted to look their best athletically. Everybody on this show looked like they were in the best shape of their lives. And Trish Stratus set the bar high. And then here comes Lita, looking like $1 million. Lita, who I think is going to be on Heated Conversations next week. I'm hoping that we can pull that off. I'm going to remind Booker T, because I would love to talk about this match with Lita. But Lita looked great, too. She looked like she was in the best shape of her that we've seen her recently. You know? So I was hyped for it. Now, you could tell these ladies were training. These women were training to do something special. And when I saw the card and I knew that there were 7 matches on the show, I knew that everyone was going to get time. And that's what I liked. I knew everyone was going to get time. And I said, it's only 7 matches. Some people are like, oh, it's only 7 matches. Well, this is supposed to be 50 women competing in their show, and it's only 7 matches. 7. That sucks. I actually wish I knew somebody who talked like that, by the way, because I might just have them do all of my internal thoughts about about what other people say. I might have them just say it for me in that voice. But some people complained about it. They really did, about there being not enough matches on the show. First, they were concerned with the build. They didn't like the build to the matches, and then there weren't enough matches for them. You know, it's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. But when I knew there were 7 matches on the show, I knew it was going to have a good long time. These women were going to be able to go out there and tell great stories, and great stories were told. I mean, the history with Lita and Trish and Mickey, it's all there. I think Lita, her original retirement, which came just a couple months after Trish's, her last match was against Mickey. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but before this Mania tag match, I think Trish did with, was it with Maria Menounos or was it with Snooki or something like that? I don't remember. She did some tag match at WrestleMania 27. But before that, I think her last WrestleMania match was against Mickie James, right? So there's a lot of history there with Mickey, Trish, and Lita. And I thought that they were there with, and Alicia's a veteran too. I mean, Alicia, I think they said she's the longest tenured competitor on the roster, a women's competitor on the roster. Shout out to her. And I saw her in a backstage vignette saying this is the biggest match of her career. And really, when you think about it, I can't think of another Alicia Fox match that just sticks out to me, you know, except for her versus Melina. So I think this was the biggest match of her career. I really do. And good for her. because I will always think about this match when it comes to Alicia Fox. So I thought Trish and Lita looked great. I actually liked Alita's allusion to her old attire, right? She kind of had I feel like I can't say this without sounding like a creep, but I mean, it was in her gear. She had kind of a thongish thing going on, right? Kind of built into her career as an allusion to, you know, what we remember her for. One of the key identifying factors about her attire, ring attire, was the underwear that would creep out of the back of her pants. And, you know, she kind of alluded to that, which I thought was a nice touch. And then she had that incredible moonsault. That moonsault she hit on Mickey and Alicia, I was like, man, go ahead, Lita. I was here for it, as they say. I was all the way here for it. And I even saw, was it Cage Side Seats tweeted that Lita just, what did they say? With that moonsault, she just cured me of acne? Something like that. You know, I popped. Some of their tweets are frustrating and infuriating to me. But that was funny. I enjoyed that one from at Cage Side Seats. So I thought this was a great way to open the show. You have the two women who are most known from the Attitude Era, who kind of were the first. You know, there's Moolah and Mae Young, of course, and then there's Alundra Blaze, Medusa, of course. But, you know, Trish and Lita really get the credit for kicking off women's wrestling, or at least being like, yeah, I know we got the bra and panty matches going on here, and we participate in them sometimes, but we can actually wrestle. And I think that's what they were known for. And when you think about first with women, you know, first main event, Lita and Trish, obviously, one-on-one, two women, one-on-one in the Raw main event. I think it was only apropos that you start the show off with them. And like I said, they had some time. I don't know how long the match went. Maybe I can look it up on Wikipedia. But they had some time, you know, and that's what I really liked. I was like, this wasn't one of those legend matches where the women come back or the old superstar comes back. They went 11 minutes. 11 minutes is actually kind of a long time, especially for four veterans, you know, out there. And like I said, two of them aren't regular competitors all the time. I mean, I think the last time we saw them, of course, was in January. Even that's a long layover, almost 11 months off, you know, 10 months, almost 11. So they had 11 minutes is enough time for them to get gas to the gills. And that's what I liked. It wasn't a typical legend comes back. It's like a 2.5 minute match. In the case of Goldberg, it's like a 40-second match. And you don't really get, enough of them out. You don't get enough out of them. And I thought that we got the perfect amount of Lita and Trish. I think that we should see them at WrestleMania. I'd love to see Team Bestie versus Team Bella. That's just me. Moving on, the Battle Royal. The 20-woman Battle Royal. Like, let's go. I thought that the first match was a great way to start. I thought this Battle Royal was a great way to follow up. You had so many women in that match. It was just so great to see. You saw Alundra Blaze. I think they said, did they say this was her first match in like 20 years? Booker said it was her first match since 1928. He's going to get murked for that. But I think they said this was like her first match either from like 98 or 2000, but late WCW times. This was her first match in almost two decades. And Alundra Blaze was out there. It was so good to see her. So good to see Ivory, who I was there second row for her Hall of Fame speech this year. And I thought she had a great speech. What a great story she has going from the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, GLOW, which is now the popular Netflix show, but going from that to WWE and being a chick who learned to wrestle on the fly and was really good at it. I mean, Ivory's one of those unsung heroes from that Attitude Era. And I think Chyna gets mentioned too, and Chyna has so much of an impact on the way women are looked at in WWE and the way women wrestlers were looked at. Chyna, you know, God rest her soul, because she had so much to do. And I think had Chyna been around today, I think she would have been at this show. And I saw they made, you know, reference to her in a video package, but she was so influential. But so was Ivory. Ivory's kind of like one of those you don't hear a lot about. And you know what? Another one is Sable. I wish Sable was in this match. Sable's another one. She was wrestling Mark Mero. She was this big megastar. She was, you know, hot. She was gorgeous. But she also would get in there and thug it out. She wasn't the greatest wrestler of all time, but she played another role in that era to get us to this point. So, but it was good to see Alundra Blaze. Good to see Ivory. Kelly. Let me say that again. Kelly. Oh, and let me follow it up with a Tori Wilson. Kelly. Tori Wilson. Brother. Shout out to them. They look in great shape as well. I liked seeing, oh, who was it? Oh, Maria Kanellis was on fire. Maria Kanellis looked great. She had a baby like 5 months ago. She was kicking ass. Michelle McCool was kicking ass. I liked the spot where, so the Iconics come out, which, by the way, I know people are annoyed by them. Some people, and they don't think that they're getting a good push on SmackDown. I am in love with the Iconics. I think they're so great. I love their little shtick. Is it a little over the top? Is it a little cartoony? Is it a little gimmicky? Yeah, you could say that. But, you know, so were the Three Stooges, and they're iconic. You see what I did there? I loved how they got eliminated first, and then it was like old versus new. Like all the veterans, the legends who returned for the Battle Royal were looking at all the newcomers. You know, the Naomis of the world, the Zelina Vegas, the Lanas. Lana is a good character, too. I think Zelina Vega is going to be such a big star. We're going to talk about her in a minute. But the one thing that stood out to me in this match was how effing over Ember Moon is. Like, what is the deal? H-Town, well, she's from Dallas, but we claim her in Houston. H-Town's own Ember Moon, trained by my mentor, Booker T at Reality of Wrestling, she comes out here and she is over like Rover, as they say. Shout out to her because her character is so good. She's so good in the ring. She's got one of the best finishers in all of wrestling. I want to see her in a WWE championship feud. I don't think that we're going to see her in something like that until after next year's WrestleMania. But just wait. Because she's going to be a champion someday, and I'm going to go crazy here in Houston whenever she gets it. But she was so over. I love Tamina and Nia, that little stare down they had, and then that little team-up they had going on. I was like, because I know there's a lot of rumors about women's tag team championships, blah, 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 blah. I'm always an advocate for less championships, less titles. Don't want it, don't need it. But if they're going to do them, I'm like, hey, you know, this would be a cool tag team. I'd like to see Nia and Tamina as champions, you know. So I liked that. I liked that we almost saw Ember Moon, you know, get Nia Jax over the top rope. And then Zelina Vega comes in. And I'm like, man, this would be a great moment if Zelina Vega wins the thing. But then, you know, of course, Nia stares her down, throws her out, eliminates her. Now it's down to Nia and Ember. And I was almost sure Ember Moon was going to win this. But I'm glad she didn't. And I'll tell you why. Every time we see a Royal Rumble, every time we see a Battle Royal, every time we see anything of the sort, the commentators and everybody in the ring, they always say, well, the big, you know, the big show, the Andre the Giants, the Canes, the Visceras, the A-Trains, the I'm trying to think of the big Great Khalis, right, of the world, the Undertakers of the world. Whenever they're there, because they're the big guy, or, you know, in this case, the Nia Jaxes or the Taminas, because they're the bigger women. They're always looked at like, oh, we got, you know, the commentator's like, oh, we got to get him out of here. You know, we got to get him, you know, that this is my pick to win it because they're the biggest ones. They got the low center of gravity. You know, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of women. They got to gang up on them, you know. And what I liked was, and the thing is that they never win. Sorry, people were texting me and it distracted me. But they never win. The big shows never win. The Canes never win. The Andre the Giant would win, but the Great Khalis would never win. Like the big person, they always would say, this is my pick because they're the biggest one in the competition. It's got to get a lot of people. They never win. So I liked that Nia won because of that reason. Just to remind everybody, like, hey, yeah, if you're the biggest person in the ring, you've got the best advantage in this kind of situation. So I did like that she won. But was this not like one of the best Battle Royals in recent memory? Somebody tweeted me about the All-In Battle Royal. I didn't watch it, so I don't know. So as far as I'm concerned, in WWE, this is one of the best battle royals in recent memory. So the women this year have the best battle royal in WWE of the year, and they have the best Royal Rumble match, and the men got two shots at it. Really, the men had three shots. They had a battle royal at WrestleMania, they had the Royal Rumble, then they had the greatest Royal Rumble. And none of them, I think, competed with the women's Royal Rumble and this battle royal. So shout out to the women, continuing to impress. The Mae Young Classic Finals. We had Toni Storm and Io Shirai. I still don't know which one it is. If you listened to the episode yesterday, I completely butchered the name several times. We're going to call her Io. Io and Toni tore the house down. I was afraid, since I haven't watched the Mae Young Classic, internet wrestling fans have a tendency to overhype things. And when they're overhyped, they're always going to under-deliver. So when you hear about Toni Storm, she's the next thing. She's the next big thing in the women's division. She's going to be a future star in the business. Oh, EOS, EO, EIEIO. She is incredible. She's like Asuka and Kairi Sane to the maximum. So when you hear all this, you're like, okay, well, we'll see. Well, I want to say this. Toni Storm and EO, they are not overhyped at all. They went out there and delivered. In a match where I'm not invested in either character, they went out there and they made me feel something. And they put on a hell of a match. And I thought that they set the bar for the night up to that point. Because this is the first singles match we saw. And then the remaining ones are pretty much going to be all singles matches, except for the six-woman tag. So I thought that they set the bar for the rest of the night. And holy crap, is Io Shirai athletic as all hell. This is the first time I've ever seen her wrestle. I've heard the name before. Obviously, I haven't heard the correct pronunciation of the name. But I've heard the name before. And boy, can she wrestle. Boy, was I impressed. This woman is so athletic. Some of the things that she do off the top rope. What are they? I can't think of what they call it. The genius of the skies or something like that. She is incredible. And if Lita's moonsault, you know, was the, what did the cage side seats say? Got rid of their acne. Cured them of acne. This moonsault was like the fountain of youth. Was like the Ponce de Leon. That moonsault she did to the outside to Toni Storm, beautiful. And then when they're battling on the apron and Toni Storm hits her with a German suplex on the apron, good God almighty. Were these women laying it out there? And then eventually Toni Storm wins. She is the second winner of the Mae Young Classic. And I believe she's going to be wrestling Rhea Ripley for the NXT UK Women's Championship coming up, I think. I'm going to have to get into NXT UK. I'm not a big watcher of NXT or NXT UK or Mae Young Classic. I'm going to start getting into it a little bit more. Not because I'm not a fan of what they do on those other brands. Just because I don't have the time, man. But Toni Storm, definitely not overhyped. This match set the bar for the rest of the night. This six-woman tag match was very easy to write off. Oh, they just doing something to get a lot of bodies, you know, in the ring. That's all they want to do. Just like the Battle Royal, they want to get people on the card. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The women who competed in the Battle Royal didn't treat it like they were just on the card. I mean, even to go back to it for a second, the Mandy Rose stuff where she turned on Homegirl. You know, what is her name? What's her name? Oh, my goodness. Why can't I think of her name? What's her? Oh, my gosh. I'm having a brain fart. I know it's like her real name's like Davina or something like that. What is her name? Absolution. What is her name? Holy crap. I cannot believe I don't know. Oh, here we go. Sonya Deville. Oh, my goodness. That was going to kill me. I even loved the thing with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And Mandy Rose gave me a GIF and a meme forevermore. But they didn't just treat it like they were just on the card. Same thing with these six women. The Riot Squad. This was the best women's six-person tag maybe ever. And I don't want to overhype it, but I don't feel like I am. Like, name another one, you know, that sticks out to you. This was such a great match. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natalya, They went out and rocked it with Sarah Logan and Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad, you know, and Liv Morgan. They absolutely went out there and killed it. And was it the best match of the night? No. Was it, you know, this, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing match? No. But was it fun? Was it entertaining? Was it hard hitting? Were these women beating the hell out of each other? Absolutely. It was super impressive to me. And the thing was, I had low expectations just for the 6-person tag because other than the Shield and the Wyatt family, you know, I'm not really into the 6-person tags as much as a regular tag team match. So this 6-woman tag match, they worked hard. They kicked ass. It was a great 6-way tag. One of the better ones for the women in recent memories. We see 6-women tags all the time. This was a good one. The NXT women's title match, I don't know if I'm crazy, but it was probably my least favorite of the night. Not because these women didn't go out there and work hard. I just kind of didn't like the finish. I wasn't in love with the finish. I thought that the right person won, and the person I predicted was going to win won. I'm glad there was a title change on the show, so there was like another historical marker there. I guess I just didn't love the 4 horsewomen getting involved in the match. I didn't love it. I thought that they could have done without that, but I know they're trying to get Shayna over as this, like, you know, but trying to get her over as a heel, you know, that's the one thing I was like, man, just have her be ruthless and just kill her, because she was doing that when she was working the arm and really trying to sell that on Kairi Sane and eliminate, you know, that aerial offense. And then when Kairi Sane jumped out to the outside after she, you know, couldn't hit the elbow drop, I thought that was good. But I thought that they could have just, you know, done the sadistic approach with Shayna as they've done in the past and continue that instead of making her look a little bit like a chicken ass heel by having outside help. That's not her character. And I just don't think that that played well for her. So that's what kind of took me away. The match from bell to bell was good. I just wasn't in love with the finish. I think Shayna is good too, but I think it's good that she also, I'm using the word good a lot. I think she's good in the ring. I think she can be very good, but she still has room to grow. And that's why I think that she's going to stay in NXT for a little while longer. And that's why putting the championship back on her isn't the worst idea in the world. Let her grow with it. Let her, you know, work on top, get some more confidence, get some more ring time, you know, log your hours. I think that she's going to be good whenever she comes up to the main roster. And I tweeted, I can't wait for her and Ronda to go at it on the main roster. They're going to beat the holy hell out of each other. The last woman standing match, though. I mean, what do you say? What do you say about that last woman standing match? Wow. It was obviously the match of the night. I don't think that anybody here is going to anybody here is going to debate that that wasn't the match of the night. It's one of the best women's matches in history, bar none. There's of course going to be other matches that come, you know, that are mentioned in that conversation. That are mentioned in that conversation. I thought I unplugged my mic, but that was such a damn good match with a good story to it. But before we get into the match itself, I do have something that I have to say about it. So the story that was being told was a great story. Becky Lynch thought she was being looked over. Charlotte would get all the attention. Becky turns on Charlotte at SummerSlam after Charlotte, you know, kind of interjects herself into that triple threat match or in the match with her and Carmella, Becky and Carmella. Now it's a 3-way. She wins the championship. Becky turns on her. Fans are behind her. Fans love Becky. They love Becky, even though she's a heel. And of course it had to happen. WWE in the promo package, in the segment with Edge, I remember watching SmackDown Live, the 1,000th episode. And when Becky says, I don't like myself, I love myself, right? Crowd went crazy. They cheered for her. I heard it. I did. I heard it. But she's a heel. In the confines of the story they're trying to tell, she is a heel. So, of course, WWE, in the promo package, they edit out the cheers and they pipe in some boos. Why do they do that? Because
in the confines of the story, she's a heel.
So, if you're a first-time viewer, because here's the thing. These promo packages, they're for people who've never watched the shows, who don't know about the backstory for the match. You have watched all the shows leading up to the event. You know the backstory. But for people who are tuning in, maybe some people who are casual viewers ordering the pay-per-view, oh, it's an all-women's pay-per-view. I wonder what all the hype is. Like the Amy Schumers, I saw her. She was tweeting that she was going to watch the first all-women's pay-per-view. For people like that, it catches them up on the story. So if people who had never tuned into the show before or were unaware or casual watchers or unaware of what the story was, if they were to watch that promo or that promo package and they saw that Becky was getting cheered and so was Charlotte, they would be lost as all hell. They were like, well, who's the bad guy? Who am I supposed to cheer for? Who am I supposed to cheer for? Now, so WWE did that. It's a character. The show is with characters, and they're trying to tell a story. So they want to convey in the story, and for the promo package leading people into this match, which is going to tell another story, they want people to know, hey, here's the bad chick, here's the good chick. You want to cheer for Charlotte, you want to boo Becky. If you're new to this and you haven't seen it before, or you haven't been caught up, this is where we're at. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. I don't have a problem with them removing boos or piping in cheer. I don't give a crap, to be honest with you. It's all about enhancing a product, and it's all about enhancing a story. So for the people who are like, oh my God, you know, I mean, one of them, and I love, and God love him, this is my guy. One of them is the Solid Monster. I love the Solid Monster. Jason, you know I love you. I listen to his show every week. He's great. Jason's great. But, you know, he tweeted, WWE can add boos to the Becky Charlotte video package, but too bad for them. They can't edit the massive cheers for Becky out of the live match. I'm sure they could if they could, they would. Completely disagree. Once again, what I said was they edit those cheers out and implement boos in a pre-packaged video, pre-packaged promo for casual viewers or people who've never seen the show. They understand what's going on, and they can follow a linear path. This girl's mad at this girl for getting attention. She's kind of turned cocky and arrogant. She doesn't like herself. She loves herself. If a crowd, you know, if a crowd cheers narcissism and arrogance to a first-time viewer, they're going to be like, what the hell is going on with these people? I'm so lost. I'm lost. You know, it's like if you're watching a movie in the theater, and instead of having a dark, menacing tone whenever the villain comes up and like some real intense, kind of creepy sounding music. Think about this. Halloween just came out, right? The movie with Michael Myers, right? Think about this. If you're watching that movie, you want to feel there's some terror behind Michael Myers. So you want some intense, terrifying music, you know, like Jaws, like dunna, dunna, dunna. Ah! That's what you want, right? Because it sets the mood. Now, if you see Michael Myers for the first time and the music is like 24 karat magic in the air, you're going to be like, what the hell is going on? Why is Bruno Mars playing when Michael Myers is about to kill some folks? It's just about telling that story to people and setting the tone and the mood. Because I was watching this show, by the way, with people who had not watched the show week to week, and they didn't even... One of them didn't even know Becky and Charlotte. They never even heard of them. But they, when they're watching, they now understood the story of the match. So, shout out to Solid Monster. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but that's how I think it would go, in my opinion. So, but about the match itself. Match was the match of the night. I loved a few of the spots. I don't want to relitigate the whole match, but a few of the spots were just incredible. The figure eight through the ladder, I thought was awesome. The kicking their asses with the kendo sticks and the chairs. And, ooh, brother, did that table spot hurt? Whereas Charlotte went for the third moonsault of the night from a woman, and each of them were spectacular. But Charlotte, I guess she overshot it a little bit, barely hit Becky with kind of like her chest up, and the table just fell over, and Becky kind of rolled off of it. That, ladies and gentlemen, sucks. I've seen plenty of times in reality wrestling where the table didn't break, and that sucks. There's nothing worse than when that table doesn't break. There's nothing worse. So, but when she went back up and did the swanton through the table, great recovery there by Charlotte. I love when Becky was burying her under all the chairs, the announce chairs, the whatever she could get, pieces of the table, whatever the hell she could get her hands on, trying to bury her in that to keep her down. The finish, of course, was great, and the right person won. I still say that Charlotte Flair is going to go on to win the Women's Royal Rumble, and it's going to be her and Ronda at WrestleMania. But that was the match of the night. But can I tell you what was, if that was, number one, I'm going to tell you what was either 1B or 2, was this main event. This main event was great. I mean, let's not joke around. I am so happy. I don't really like to say I told you so too much. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to toot my own horn. But right now, I'm rocking my Bella Lucian shirt. And y'all know I'm a Bella Twin fan. To the core. I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. To the core. And I've defended these two women on social media since Ronda made her debut and for the last 5 years with Nikki Bella. I'm like, yo, guys, y'all understand Nikki Bella's good. She's good. I say it all the time. Hey, man, you understand. Ronda Rousey's good. She deserves to be that champion. These are the two biggest female stars in the company. I put Charlotte up there as well. But as far as mainstream well-known stars, Nikki Bella, Ronda Rousey, and also Brie Bella, these are the biggest stars in the division. So it makes sense that they main event the show. And did they put on a hell of a main event? This was, in my opinion, both of their best matches. This was most definitely Ronda's best solo match one-on-one. And I think this might be Nikki Bella's best match ever. It really might be both of their best matches ever. Nikki came out to a good pop, by the way, people. I know she's supposed to be a heel too. I get it. She came out to a good pop. People love Nikki Bella. They do. I love her, but, people love her. The package, though, speaking of the video packages, the package for this match made it feel like a big deal. It felt kind of like a UFC fight, and that just might be because Ronda was involved, but it had a main event feel to it, like a big main event feel. I thought, I could go without Ronda smiling a little bit in the matches, right? But I love the story of this match. Starts off, Nikki Bella tries to single leg Ronda. She tries to shoot on Ronda. Ronda just takes her arm, flips her over, judo flip, throws her on the ground. She's like, I can take your arm right now. Better rethink this strategy. I liked the cockiness from the champion. The confidence. Maybe I should say. I always say it about real MMA fighters. When you win a championship, there comes this championship level confidence you then get. Booker likes to call it the cloak of invincibility. And Ronda was showing that through her character of, look, I'm the champ. I can break your arm right now if I wanted to. You're a do-nothing Bella. You better go back to the drawing board, Nikki, because it's going to take more to do. You got to do more than that to beat me. But I love the pacing of this match. So it starts off like that, and then they go to the outside, boom, shoves her into the pole, the turnbuckle pole, the post, ring post. Shoves her into that, and then we have Ronda on the ground. Nikki goes back in the ring. The referee's distracted. Twin magic, brother. A little twin magic. Brie Bella shoves Ronda Rousey into the pole, and now we're really off to the races. And Nikki Bella was putting hands on Ronda Rousey. Fifth Ward beads on Ronda Rousey throughout the majority of this match, up until the babyface comeback. She was kicking her ass in the assistance with Brie Bella. The pacing was so good. And Nikki's work as a heel, that's where she really shines. She should always be a heel. I'll still cheer for you, girl. Don't get me wrong. But she should always be a heel. Her heel work was so good. and is so good. Her and Brie together, they know how to work that gimmick to perfection. Brie Bella picked her spots beautifully. Every time she got involved, it felt special. It felt necessary. It furthered the story. It added drama every time she got involved. I know a lot of y'all out there like to say Nikki Bella can't wrestle. I know y'all like to say Nikki Bella can't wrestle. She's just a diva. She didn't know how to tell a story. But did she go out there and put on a damn clinic? Now, was it the best wrestling on the show? No. Was it one of the best stories told of the show? Yeah. I think it was the second best match of the night. I really do. I think it was the second best match of the night. So great heel work from Nikki. I thought Ronda's figured out how to get a crowd behind her very easily. And I think it's kind of easier for her because she is Ronda Rousey and she's had crowds get behind her legitimately from the, you know, accomplishment she had in the octagon. But she knows how to get a crowd fired up for her. And she's very good. Her comeback is very good. When she fires up like a bull, she starts slapping herself. And then when Brie was on the outside, when, you know, because Ronda picks Nikki up to do that kind of swinging Samoan drop. And then when she picked Brie up too, and she did it to both of them, great moment. I thought the near fall, I bit. I'm going to tell you right now, I was hook, line, and sinker after Nikki hit that rack attack real quick. Pinfall, 1, 2, 2 and 15/16. So close. Nikki sold it perfectly. Like, God, I thought I had it. Ronda firing up on her, punches in the corner. Then she's going to go for punches again. Nikki goes like, no, stop. And then Ronda just smacks the taste out of her mouth. Then when the arm bar comes in, puts the arm bar in, Nikki taps almost instantly. Great match. And the fans popped for it. When Ronda won, I saw the front row, they like jumped up. They jumped up. And this was one of the most, and this crowd, by the way, shout out to y'all. Y'all rocked it. The crowd was great. They were some of the most vocal of the entire night during this match. So all the fans on the internet, y'all can talk that talk. You can talk that talk. But Ronda and Nikki went out there and rocked it. And they put on a main event match. Now, could they, I mean, they were kind of handcuffed too. Here's the thing. Most people would have probably faltered in that situation coming off, which was one of the best matches all year, especially from the women in that last woman standing match between Becky and Charlotte. Coming off of that, most of the time in that situation in a pay-per-view, you'd be forgotten. Like, what was the main event of that 1998 King of the Ring show? It was Austin versus Kane. Who talks about that? Nobody. Because they talked about the match that went on right before it. The Hell in a Cell with Mankind and Undertaker. When you have a great, memorable match, it's an instant classic. The match that follows it in the main event can be easily forgotten and mostly is. This one will not be. It was a great main event. Had Charlotte and Becky not been on the show, it would have been the match of the night. Easily. No debate. So I loved Evolution. I thought it proved all the doubters who I was upset with the build. I didn't like the build. I think it proved all of them wrong. And once again, if you listen to me and you just watch the show and then make your judgments, you'll never, ever be disappointed. Well, you might not like the show. You might not like the show. So maybe I should say you wouldn't be disappointed. But how about you just wait until you see the show to make your opinions known? How about that? Let's judge it afterward, not before, like a lot of you did. I give the show 9 out of 10. Thumbs up. I loved it. I hope we see more. I know Stephanie said there's going to be more women's pay-per-views. Count me in, Jack. I'm all in for it. I am all in. I'm all in. I really am. I thought this was a great show. I hope we see Evolution 2 next year. And Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, the pathway starts now. It's all set in motion. My prediction can still hold true. And I said this. I was the first person I heard. And once again, humble brag. I was the first person to say Charlotte versus Ronda could main event WrestleMania. When Ronda made her debut in January. I said that. Now it looks like it's probably going to happen. Anything can happen between now and then. But I'm just saying it's more likely than not. But that was my review of WWE Evolution, the first all-women's pay-per-view event. Make sure you check out Heated Conversations this week, myself and Booker T. We talk about the Crown Jewel controversy. We gave our pre-thoughts about what we expected from Evolution. We talk about the unfortunate news with Roman Reigns, and we have Ariel Helwani on to have the best MMA talk we've ever had on the show. Booker, I, and Ariel Helwani talk for about 40 minutes straight about all things MMA. But follow me on all social media at Brad Gilmore, bradjgilmore.com. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, The Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Back to Future of the Podcast, Season 5 is on, and we're rolling strong, brother. And Schmodown Rundown, check that out too. bradjgilmore.com, you can find it all there. All of it's there. All of it's there. So until next time, guys, I'll see y'all.